Bible, would you please stand and then pray as I pray that God would open up his word, allow me to speak with clarity and the authority God has given me. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you, God, for being just so good to us, God. Open up your word to us, God. Allow us to hear your word, Father. Forgive me of all my sins as I bring forth your word, God. Give me the power and the authority, God, and the clarity of speech, Father. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I tell you, it is, I will tell you how I came across this. I'd been studying for a couple weeks for a youth lesson about being impactful, making an impact. And as I studied making an impact, I would go through the different people of the Bible. We study the life of Josiah, the life of Jonah, and in the New Testament, we study the life of John the Baptist. And I begin to look at him, and then I begin to go through the book of John and looking at this quote-unquote seven witnesses of the book of John and seeing those people and how they bore witness of Jesus Christ and what they said about Christ. And I begin to think about our witness and the impact that we need to be making in our life. And there's just something that inside of me just churns and just seems like that we need to be more impactful and be a better witness for Jesus Christ. I believe that, I believe with all my heart that things are changing, but because Christians aren't standing up and doing what we should do. We should witness for Christ. We should proclaim his goodness. We should recognize what he has done and what he's done for us and proclaim that with boldness and power and authority that God has given us. And I begin to examine my life and see areas in my life that wasn't necessarily being a good witness. And so we want to start on John chapter number one. John chapter number one, and the definition of the word witness is to see, tell about, proclaim, or bear testimony for something or someone. That's the word witness and what it means. And we see in John chapter one, we see in verses 6-8, we see that a man named John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. And if you turn to Acts chapter 10, verses 40-43, we see another group of witnesses. But we see John the Baptist being sent before Christ and him to be a witness, to bear witness. Acts chapter 10, verses 40-43 says this, "Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give him all the prophets witnesses, that through the name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin." So we see another group of witnesses. So I want to talk about the different ways that we can be a witness, the different ways that God used the apostles to be a witness. You see, the apostles were an actual eyewitness of the accounts of Christ. They were able to see the actual miracles of God and see the things of God and what Jesus did and all these things. They were able to see his death and him being rose from the dead. They saw all these things, so they were an eyewitness. Their account was different, because they were an eyewitness. We see that in John chapter 15:27, it says, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." So we see the apostles were with him from the beginning, so they were able to bear witness of different things that Christ had done. And see, they had a very special testimony. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth." So these apostles had a different perspective of Christ. They saw Christ. They was able to touch Christ, to feel Christ and see these things. So they were having a special testimony, a special witness. They were eyewitnesses. And it was also able to give just evidence of Christ. You see, in John, in 1 John 1:1 says that, "Which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. We see that these apostles were even able to hear and see with their own eyes the things of God. They've looked upon it. Their hands have handled those things of the word of life. In 1 John 1:2 says this, "For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was the Father and was manifested unto us." So these apostles, they were able to have a different, a special witness because they saw him and was able to touch him and handle him. But see, they bore a different testimony also because they bore it and witnessed Christ and was able to proclaim Christ in their everyday lives, but also their death. Their lives were not the easiest of lives. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 through 13, it tells us that they endured great hardship for their testimony. It says, "For I think that God set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we are made a spectacle unto the world and to the angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but we are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst and are naked and are buffeted and have no certain dwelling place. And labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we suffer it, being defamed, we entreat. We are made as filth of the world and are offscouring all things unto this day." We see that these apostles, they witnessed, they proclaimed Christ through their lives and also their death. You see, the Bible tells us that they were made a spectacle unto the world, meaning that people mocked them and made fun of them. The Bible goes on to say that they were weak as far as what they had. The Bible tells us that they did hunger, they thirst, they were naked, they didn't even have a house to stay in, no dwelling place. So we see that they still bared witness of Christ despite what was going on in their lives. They had it bad. They had things going on. The Bible says that people who seemed more honorable and had it going on, they were pushed down, they were despised, they were rejected. But he says that in verse number 10, it says, they thought they were fools for Christ's sake, but he goes on to say that we were actually wise. You see, in the world's eyes, they were foolish. They were ridiculous. Why are you following this Christ? Why are you going through these things? But they had that encounter with Christ that changed their life. And so they wanted to make sure they bear witness of Christ no matter what happens. Amen. And it goes on that because of their hardship, because of their testimony, they impacted a whole lot of people. Think about if John the Baptist would have, at the beginning, whenever he was bearing witness, if he would have stopped, because just think about how much flack he caught. I mean, John the Baptist was not one who was dressed the best, who ate the best things. I mean, he would have been what we call maybe a, man, that something's wrong with that guy. There's something strange about him. But yet the Bible says he was a voice. He was a witness. Just think if John the Baptist was not obedient to his calling. If John the Baptist, when he was taking all that criticism, man, you're crazy, you're foolish, there's some guy out in the wilderness just talking about Christ and the Savior, he must be crazy. But he continued to be that voice. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold, he kept being that voice. He kept being obedient to God. Think about the life of Jonah. Okay, what impact did he make in the life? First of all, he ran from God. He said, Nineveh won't listen. They won't receive it. I'm not going to do it. Call somebody else. And what happened? He got swallowed up. But then he finally listened and obeyed God and made an impact, and a whole city was saved. Even the king repented. Just think if he would have said, nope, I don't care. It's not me. Think about Josiah. He was 8 years old whenever he took the reign. Think if Josiah's like, hey, whoa, hold on, Lord. I'm 8 years old. I can't do this. I'm too young. I'm not experienced. No, but God saw favor in him. He done what was right in the eyes of the Lord, and he was obedient. Okay? We as born-again believers, we'll face so many things, so many obstacles, but we've got to stay the witness. We've got to bear testimony of our Savior no matter what's going on. We see people in the Old Testament. We see the forerunners before Christ. We see the prophets. We see the apostles, the disciples. Now it's on us to make sure we continue day by day to witness, to proclaim the goodness of God. If we would examine our lives, we could see that God has been really good to us. And if we would examine the things that even God's mercy, the things that God has taken away from us that we do deserve, think about those things that God has protected us from, those things that God has given us that we did not deserve, all these things. Think about those times whenever things just seemed chaotic. Things seemed out of control. Things seemed like they were going to break. And then God came through and showed out. These are the things that we are to bear witness about. If we present ourselves as defeated people, as lonely, as defeated people, then why would a world want what we want? They saw the apostles who were hungry and were thirsty and were thrown in prison and who were eventually murdered, continue to keep the faith no matter what. So when people saw that, what a witness for Christ that was. When they saw, hey, we're taking their food, we're taking their houses, we're throwing them in jail, and these people are still praising the Lord. And they still wouldn't deny Christ up to their death. They knew it. They were eyewitnesses. And although we never saw Christ with our eyes, we live by faith. We put our hope and our trust in Christ and knowing that He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We put our faith in that and we believe what He has done, things He's going to do. We believe in that and we live our life in a way that we bear light, we bear witness to this world. We all want to see a change in life. We all want to see our maybe our husband, our wife, our spouse, our kids, our family saved. God wants to use you to be a witness for that. God's watching you. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've seen so many people in their life, when they're going through heartache, stay faithful. That encourages me. When I see people that are going through things in their life and they stay faithful, that's a witness of Christ, even to me, that says, you know what, praise God, if they can stay faithful, so can I. If they can continue to push on, so can I. So we see that the apostles, that they bore witness through their lives and their death, and it gave credit to the truthfulness of their testimony. You see, they said, I've put my faith and my trust in Christ. But see, if they would have said that, and as soon as the first thing come along, it didn't go their way, if they'd have tucked tail and ran, there'd have been no credit for Christ. Hold on, I thought you followed Christ. The first bad thing that happened, you're gone? You're denying it? But no, these apostles gave credit to the testimony of Christ because they stuck with it. If you've had an experience with God, and Jesus Christ has changed you, something inside of you changed. You felt that. You know that. And although we can't put our finger on it, we can't touch it, we know it. And as children of God, whenever we know that, we're to proclaim to people, hey, I know someone. I know someone. His name is Jesus. Although I was imperfect, I didn't deserve it. Although I'm a sinner, Christ come to me. He saved me. He transformed me. And we bear witness. But we've got to be careful because life will hit you. That when life hits you, that we're not such a bad witness. I know in my life, sometimes whenever something hits me, my whole mind goes to that problem. And if I'm not careful, I'll begin to think about that problem, that issue, and that'll be my focus. Instead of my focus being Christ, bringing my problem to Christ, hey, this is what's going on. If I'm not careful, I swamp my mind full of my problem, and I begin to carry that problem. And I'm going to tell you right now, the world can see that. They can see that. But, hey, maybe you're going through something. How you doing? I'm blessed. Praise God. I'm blessed. I'm going to tell you, there's some people that I come by and I know they're either hurting, they're sick, they're down, something's going on, and they tell me I'm blessed. Wow, talking about convicting. Because there's sometimes that I whine about I've got a headache or this doesn't feel right, and I whine about that, and I got people that are really in pain, that are really sick, and they're saying I'm blessed. Wow, what a witness. What a witness. So we see that they bore the witness through their lives and also their death. But you see also the disciples and the apostles of Christ, their unity with one another, it also bore witness. We see in John chapter 17, it says in verse number 20, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as though Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given thee, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. You see, their unity. I hear Pastor Mike saying all the time that we're a bunch of misfits. Well, praise God. Let's stay a bunch of unified misfits for Christ. Praise God. Let's continue to stay unified. Hey, we're all not going to agree on everything. Okay? But we can stay unified in the facts of Jesus Christ being our Savior. Unified in Christ. Okay? If we stay unified, the Bible tells us that if we stay unified, that it bears witness that Jesus was sent by God. And it also bears witness that God loves the world, that God loves people. If we are in unity, and we are all rowing together, and we're all in the same motion, and we're doing what we're supposed to, and we're unified, we show a world that, first of all, that God did send Jesus. He was sent from God, and we also see that God loves the world through that. It tells us that. The Bible says that in verse number 23, I in them, thou in me. It shows the world that if we're unified, that we're in him, he's in us, that we're together, and it shows us that. And we see that Paul addresses these different kind of divisions in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 11 through 13. It says, for it hath been declared unto me, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that thou art contentious among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ. He says, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? Paul addresses these divisions. And he says that God does not want it, that it's not about any individual except for Christ. They had an issue whether it was Paul, whether it was Apollos, whether it was Christ. They said, well, I'm with Paul, I'm with Apollos. And he says, hey, is Christ divided? No. It's all about Christ. It's all about him. And to stay a witness for God and to bear testimony of him, you must stay unified as a body. Stay unified as a body to show, first of all, this world, but also to strengthen each other up. There's so many times that we as Christians struggle. We have things going on. It's our job as a family, as a body, to lift each other up. Maybe somebody's slipping down. We as a unified body pick them back up. Maybe somebody's going through something. We help them. And as a body, we stay unified for the cause of Christ. And it shows. It shows the world. And it shows people who Christ is. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us our worthy calling. And we're called. Our conduct. Ephesians chapter 4 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we see that he tells us to endeavor to keep the unity of peace, the bond of peace. And we know that the Bible tells us that that is our worthy calling, our vocation, that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye have been called. Ye have been called to do that. You've been called by God to do that. And we also see that they're not only that we're called to do that, but we see that our transformed lives also bear witness. There's so many things in our life that bear witness. I told the youth a couple weeks ago, think about whenever something transforms. How many of y'all remember, and this has been years ago, it still might be on, but that Extreme Makeover Home Edition. They would go into a house and they would go and they would transform that house. I mean, they would take it and they would put, a new roof, new rooms, new everything. They would, just make a normal, simple house into this just amazing house. And what they would do is they would pull this big old bus in front of the house, and they would bring the people who owned the house, who hadn't seen their transformed house, beside the bus. And they would do a countdown, like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. They would move the bus, and these people would see their transformed house. And they were just floored by it. Someone even pass out and fall down and cry because they would see this transformed thing, something that was okay, that was all right, all of a sudden was transformed into this amazing thing, and it floored them. The same way with us as born-again believers. We as being transformed, we as being saved, being a new creature, whenever people see us and the way we are, it's a transformation. And they'd be like, wow, I remember you when, but wow, now look at you. You're a Sunday school teacher? You're a member of a church? Well, I remember, man, God, wow, what has happened? Well, let me tell you. God transformed my life. You see, when people see that, you're bearing witness. There'll be people that you come across that haven't seen you in 15, 20 years. And whenever they see you, they're going to say, like that bus moving, whoa, something has happened to you. Well, all of a sudden, that gives you an opportunity. Well, let me tell you, man, I was undeserving. I was on my way to hell, and God come by, and God changed my life, and God set me up, and God done this for me. You're able to bear witness because of your transformed life. Amen. What an amazing testimony. So please don't think that, man, when I was out in the world, I thought that I'd gotten too far for God. Never. You can never get too far gone for God. Because the grace of God comes to you. You don't go to it. It comes to you. And those things that you have done in your past, use it to glorify God. Say, yes, that was me. But let me tell you about the new me. Amen. Let me tell you about my transformed life. Let me tell you about the new life that God has given me. And we see in 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all, with open face, behold, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We see that because we're transformed, we are able to show the glory of God in our image, in our actions, in our walk. Wow. We're able to show the glory of God? That's amazing. That's amazing to think that to who God is, who we are, and because of Christ now, we're able to bear the image and show His glory to people. You are able to bear witness of God's glory to a lost world, to your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're able to do that and show them, first of all, the lost person, what they're missing. But then also that saved person, hey, you got this. We got this. Although it hurts, although it's tough, we got this. Remind God, remind Him of the promises. You're able to show that glory. Let's be honest. We're not always at the peak of our spiritualism, right? We're not always so close to God that we just, sometimes it's good to be reminded. As a unified body, it's good to be reminded, hey, God's got this. Remember, but God, all those but God moments and God is moments, Remind people of that. And because of your transformed life, we're able to show that glory of God. And we also are able to see that teaches us the truth and the holiness of God. We see in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 24 says this, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to work all uncleanness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ. If so, that ye have learned him and have taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversations of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and ye put on the new man, which God has created in righteousness, true holiness." He tells us that we're not to walk as the other Gentiles walk, in the vainness of our mind. He says not to have our understanding darkened. He goes on to tell us that if we've learned it from him and we've been taught from him and it's truth in him to live that. He says to put off the old ways, the old conversations of the old person, put those things to the side, no more, because they're corrupt. They come from deceitful lust. But he says to put on that new man, which is after God. Your old man, your old person is not after God. He says the new man, that is which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. You see, whenever you're saved, you're created in the righteousness of God through Christ. And then it is true, absolute true holiness. If you could just see yourself as God sees you now through Christ, you see, he doesn't see old Jason. He sees the righteousness of Christ inside of me. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. So he's able to see us as his son. Because I'm going to tell you, if it was of my righteousness, I done messed it up a long time ago. A long time ago. But he says to put off the old person. He says, take on that new man, the one that God has saved, the one that God has set apart. He says, because those things are after God and it's true holiness. And what a way to show the world who Christ is and to witness Christ is by showing them that new man or that new person that God has made inside of you. Never be ashamed of that new person. Young people, never be ashamed you being a follower of Christ. Older people, don't be ashamed. We become sometimes, as we get older, we become almost to the point that we just kind of know too much that I'm not going to get up and praise God about what he's done for me. I mean, I'm just a little bit too dignified for that. I don't want to embarrass myself. Hey, embarrass that flesh. Okay, it's all about God anyway. If you got something to testify about God and praise God and you want to raise your hand and say amen, you say amen. It's all about you and him. Focus on him. Look to him. Look to him. Praise God. If God's done something for you, thank God for it. You got a coworker that you want to witness to, witness to him. Show him the things of God. Tell him about it. You want to be at school and you want to start a prayer group, start it. Don't be ashamed of it. You want to start a Bible study, start it. Never let your mind play these tricks on you that you can't do it. Or that you're going to be embarrassed. That all comes from pride. But we're able to see whenever we put the new person on, it enables us to shine a light as we reflect the glory of God in his light, which is in our lives. You see, we're able to take his glory. We're given the light of God. And reflect his glory. We're reflecting his glory to a world that's maybe never seen it. It's never experienced it.
we're able to reflect who he is and show his goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his tender loving care. We're able to show all these things of God.
We also, it should make us think that just how little of use we are if we're not being transformed. If we're not living as we're transformed, if we're not living a life that is day by day a renewing of our mind, as Romans chapter 12 says, if it's not a constant renewing your mind and being transformed, just how little of a use we are for God as far as showing his witness. You see, if those people on that extreme makeover, if they would have pulled that bus back and it would have been the same old house, with maybe the grass mowed in it or something, and there's a little bit of difference, they would have thought, man, I mean, that's nicer, but it wouldn't have been like the wow. But see, we as Christians now have a wow testimony. Who we were, who we are now, and who we're going to be. We had this testimony, no matter if maybe you stayed in church your whole life, praise God. Maybe you didn't get saved until you was 50, praise God. Maybe it was in your 20s. Maybe as a teenager. Maybe you haven't done so many bad things. Whatever your testimony is, you're able to witness to people in different groups. You know, everybody is people in general. I compare them to a wash cycle, okay? You have the normal cycle. You have the gentle cycle. And you have the heavy-duty cycle. Everybody's different, right? Maybe you've got a quote-unquote light testimony. Maybe you got a normal testimony. Maybe you got one of them heavy duty that God brought you out from a whole lot of stuff. Either way, you're able to affect different people.
That's right.
Okay? If I was someone who didn't struggle with a certain thing, and I go to try to witness to somebody who's struggling with something, but I've never experienced that, then they're not really likely to hear me as well as if someone who has struggled with something, hey, brother, let me tell you, I struggled with the same thing. I went through it. I had this problem, but let me tell you what God did. You're able to bear witness better than I would be able to, and vice versa. We all have that avenue in our life for God to use. So we see that by the renewing of our minds, and by also, If we're not being transformed by renewing our minds, and also if we're also not showing the Christ-like character, then we notice that we're not being a very good use for Christ. See, these disciples, no matter what hit them, no matter what happened, they were being used of God. Throw them in prison, threaten them with death, take away their finances. It didn't matter. Whatever happened, they were gonna live that life and bear witness. Same thing for us. Also, their proclamation of the word also bear witness. Do you know it is our duty as God's people to proclaim his praises? 1 Peter 2:9 says this, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye would show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." Verse 10 says, "Which in times past were not a people, but now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy."
Amen.
It is our duty as God's people, as the Bible says, should show forth the praises of him who has what? Who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Lord.
He tells us to proclaim this. Then it goes on to say, the people who had not obtained mercy, but now you've obtained mercy. He called us into his marvelous light. We obtained mercy whenever we didn't have mercy. It makes me think how little of use I am or you are if we just remain silent. We were in darkness. We were brought to light. We wasn't able to get mercy, and then we obtained mercy. And the Bible tells us that it is our duty to proclaim His praises and His goodness and to tell people about what God has done for you, to show forth, to let people see and know about what God's done for you. If we would examine our life in the past week, God has done so many things for me, so many things for you. And although you might think, man, what, Jason, yes, God did something, but it was real small. You don't know who's waiting to hear that. It might be small to you, but it might be huge to somebody else. Amen. Well, Jason, I just don't know if it's a testimony. Yes, it is. If it's of God and God's done it, it's a testimony. And you're showing the witness of God. You're bearing witness to someone. Like those eyewitness news people. They was on the scene. They were showing the scene, and they were bringing back information and showing the viewers. That's what we got to do. Show people who Christ is and what He's done for you on a day-to-day basis. There's times when I wake up in the morning and thank God for a good night's sleep. There's times whenever I thank God for getting me down the road. There's times whenever my son, who is a trip, wants to pray about everything. I mean, he prays about everything. We're on our way to school, and as soon as we get in the truck, Daddy, will you pray? We get to this road up here, Daddy, will you pray? We make a left, we go down the road, in the road, Daddy, will you pray for this? He just wants to pray for everything. He wants to thank God for everything. And I'm going to tell you, and I shared with Pastor Mike several weeks ago, that my son's prayer began to change several weeks ago. Pastor Mike preached a message, and it was talking about, you know, taking things for granted and not thanking God for what He has done for you, and always looking for, you know, things that God wants to give you. God, will you bless me? But, you know, forgetting that God has blessed you. And my son every night, bless his little soul, and I won't say nothing next service whenever he's here, but he's not here right now, so I can tell it. He has a routine at night to where he wants to pray about not having nightmares. He's always done it since he was like 2 years old. Well, several weeks ago, after Mike preached that message, now, and I always worry about my son because sometimes he's looking up and I'm like, listen, son. He's fidgeting around, but he's listening, praise God. One night, it was the Monday after Pastor Mike preached that message, my son said in his prayer, he's like, Lord, I want to thank you for all those times that you didn't give me nightmares. What a testimony. What a witness to me. Although we're focused on so many times, as he preached on about doing stuff to get God's blessing, we forget about what God has done for us. And if we forget about what God has done for us, we forget to be a witness. Because as we remember what God has done for us and the things that God has given us, we're able to witness to others and say, man, I want to thank God for what He has done for me already. Every single person has a way to witness, to bear, to proclaim Christ. But so many times we allow fear, we allow doubt, all these things in our lives to kind of hinder us. And God has made us a new person, a new creation, and God has enabled us to shine our lights, to reflect Him. God has enabled us to do that. But so many times, we remain silent on the things of God. We remain silent by not spreading the gospel. We remain silent by not sounding forth the word. Do you know that you're enabled, if you're born again and you're saved, you have the power of the Holy Spirit? Do you know how powerful your words are to people? If you have the Holy Spirit inside of you, you have that power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. Do you know the power that you have to impact people's lives? There was no reason why anybody should have listened to John the Baptist. Based on his looks, based on how he acted, based on who he was. But he obeyed God,
and he witnessed as the voice. Behold, the Lamb of God. Hey, looky here, your Savior's here. There was no reason why Josiah should have been a king at that young of an age. There were so many things against that. I mean, come on now. I mean, would you want to listen to a young boy king? There was no reason. But the Bible says that he was obedient. He followed God. There's no reason why God should have saved someone like me. And if we'd examine our lives, there was not much that God was getting when he got us. I mean, there was not much God was getting, but yet God saw you worth way more than what you ever saw yourself worth. He saw that you was worthy enough to send himself in the flesh form through his son, to die on a cross as a criminal, for sold for the price of a slave, to be ridiculed and mocked. So there is worth in you. Although the world says you got to have the big house, the fancy cars, and all the diamond rings and all this, if you have Christ, you have something. You have something. You have more, right? You have a lot. And as we see that worth inside of us, that we are rich in him, we become content. Amen. And with contentment becomes godliness. And with that becomes what? Great gain, as the Bible says. Contentment with godliness is great gain. And we're able to be a witness. Whenever we say, Lord, although I would have done things differently in my great mindset of how I can figure things out, I would have done things differently. That's what we think sometimes. That's what I think sometimes. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Lord, you blessed me with this. Thank you, Lord. Although this sickness, I don't want it, I'm going to honor you with it. Amen. I'm going to be a witness for you with it. Lord, I've got a wayward son or daughter. I don't want that, but I'm going to be a witness of you for it, Father. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to trust you. And then we become a witness, because whenever you have the burden and the different things weighing you down in life, it becomes heavy. But whenever you give that thing over to God, you become light. And all of a sudden, you might not be happy. You have joy and peace. We're not always supposed to be happy. But we have joy and peace. That's different than happiness. Joy is telling you, no matter what happens, I'm okay with it, God. And the peace of mind is saying, hey, Lord, whatever goes on, I've got the peace of God. It passes all understanding. I'm good with it. Happy is kind of an emotion, but joy and peace is deep. It's something that the devil tries to steal from you. It's worth so much that the devil wants to steal it from you. But we as born-again believers, as children of God, to bear the witness, we need to continue to spread the gospel in any way you can. I encourage my youth to figure out a way to present the gospel in two sentences. Because you don't always have, 30 minutes or 40 minutes. Sometimes it's a quick passing. One of your friends, one of your coworkers, be able to present the gospel in two or three sentences. To be able to get it really quick to them and allow God to give the increase. You see, it's not up to us to save people. Some people come by and they plant that seed. Another person comes by, puts some water on it. I'm going to tell you, some of y'all will never see what you've done for the Lord until you get to heaven. Some of y'all have been planting seeds in Sunday school, in the youth ministry, in children's church, in the nursery. You've been planting seeds over and over again. It might be 5, 10, 15 years before you ever hear what happened to that. But it's all because you planted that seed. You were what? A witness. Some of you at your work been praying for somebody for years and years and years. You ain't seen the change, but you planted that seed. Somebody comes by, you continue to be that witness. Sometimes us being a witness is also watering. Whenever we're able to be a witness, hey, brother, well, what happened this weekend? Man, I went to church. There was some goofy, bald-headed preacher up there sweating, preaching. And let me tell you, hey, amen, y'all can laugh, amen. You have fun in church. But be a witness for God. Proclaim his goodness. I've got a couple questions for us today. You know, we see that in the past, there were many people who faithfully bore witness. We see the prophets in the Old Testament. We see the forerunner, John the Baptist, right before Christ. We see the followers, the apostles, the disciples. We see many people that faithfully bore witness. And because of those people, we enjoy a lot of blessings today because of that. There's some people that maybe some grandparents, some great-grandparents that were faithfully bearing witness. And right now, you're a product of that. Maybe your mom and dad, they faithfully bore witness to you. And you're a product of that. Maybe you got some kids that are saved. Mom and dad, you faithfully bore witness. You were faithfully doing that. And now that's some of the fruit from it. But many people faithfully bore witness. And as a preacher, as a pastor, one thing that I fear is that we're so quick, we're so close to losing a generation. If it ain't this generation, it could be the next generation. You see, as a church, we remain quiet. Our kids remain quiet. Our grandkids remain quiet. And they grow up in a society where Christians are quiet, where Christians don't stand on the things of God, where Christians don't do what's right. And they're raised up seeing that as Christianity, and you're looking down the road, we have a lukewarm Christianity. And that's a fear of mine, that we become silent, that God doesn't use that, or God can't use that if we're silent. God wants to use each and every person in here to bear witness of his glory and what he's done in your life. But we're only a generation away. If we don't bear light, if we don't bear witness, if we don't proclaim his goodness, if we're not enthusiastic about coming to church and about what he's done, then why would anybody else want that? I've got two kids, one that's 8 and one that's 4. I want them to see the children of God excited and happy and enthusiastic about the things of God. I want to see them because I can say, son, you see them people? They're faithful, son. You see, I told you, son, this word is true, son, daughter. This is true. Because whenever we as a church, we unite for Christ and we push forward with Christ, and we live for Christ, and we do those things for Christ, we validate the scriptures. We validate Christ to people. We validate that. So we can have people who are kids who are younger saying, well, I mean, they say this, and they do this, and they say to be faithful, and they're here too, and they say to read your Bible, and Pastor Mike says read your Bible. Mom and Dad reads their Bible. It validates what he's preaching, validates the Word of God. It validates Christ. But if we remain silent or remain not a witness, then we become little use. And then we see a generation coming up that's seeing that and saying, well, I mean, if that's, okay. If that's Christianity, then okay. I guess I want it, or I guess I don't want it. But if they see us staying faithful and seeing us plugging along, keeping our hands on that plow, not looking back and plowing those rows, and doing what we're supposed to be doing for God, we bear witness. So what about us today? Do we bear witness of the light by our unity with one another? Do we bear witness of the light through our transformed lives? Do we bear witness of the light through proclaiming the word? Do we bear witness? You see, the purpose of us bearing witness of the light is so others can believe in him. But the question remains, do we help or do we hinder those around us in believing or not believing? You see, you can also be a bad witness. You can also be a bad witness who hinders the things of God. And if I would examine my life, there was a lot of times in my life when I was a bad witness, God forgive me, that there was no fruits of being a Christian. Bad witness. Did I hinder people or did I help people? Probably hindered people. But see, as a witness, we can help people, bring them closer to Christ, or we can hinder people from coming to Christ. Now, I encourage you today, don't quench the Father's efforts, who wants each and every one of us to bear witness of the light. I'll stop with these two verses, 2 Corinthians 4:6. For it is God who commanded light to shine of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:8 says this, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Challenge, walk as children of light. As we walk as children of light, we become the witness that God wants us to be. Are we bearing the witness that we should bear? Do we want to bear a better witness for Christ? In order to bear witness of Christ, first of all, you've got to be out of darkness. You see, before you're saved, you're in darkness. And the Bible tells us that sin has separated us from God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short from the glory of God, meaning every single person in their sin has fallen short from the glory of God. No matter how hard I wanted to try, no matter how far I ran, if I wanted to get from this platform to that back door and I wanted to jump in the air, no matter how hard I ran, no matter how hard I tried, I could not do it. Same way with God. No matter how hard you tried, no matter how hard you jumped, no matter how good you were, you could not get to a holy God. Bible says there's not one righteous, no, not one. But also goes on to tell us that God commended his love in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So although we were far away from God, Christ died for us even while we were yet sinners. The Bible says that if you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see, we need to put our faith and our trust in Christ and what he did and accept what he did. He died on the cross for you, all your sins. And all you have to do is confess him as Lord. Believe that he is Christ, that God sent him, that he lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for your sins and that God rose him from the grave. You believe that and you want God to save your soul, God will save it. God will save you. If you ask God to forgive you of your sins, God will forgive you of your sins. If you come to God with the right heart, say, God, save me. Forgive me of all my sins. I confess you as Lord. He'll save you. Is that you today? Is that you? You want to be saved today? Child of God, you want to bear a better witness? Miss Vicky. Child of God, you want to bear a better witness? Would you stand and pray with me, please? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, and praise you, God, for being so good to us. We ask, Lord, that you would move in this invitation, God, that you would draw people to you, God, draw people to you, Father, save people, God, plant seeds, water seeds, God, whatever it is you want to do, God, you accomplish it, God, and it's all about you, Father. It's all you, Father. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.